Welcome, everyone. I spoke with Father today. As usual, he and Jesus send their love to you, and I give you my peace. Father and I spoke for a while, and he asked me to share this information with you. He said, "Dear team, many of your lives have been shaken recently with personal, financial, faith, and business changes. My purpose in all of these facets is to show you how strong your faith really is and how much I am willing to help you get through all of this. In the future, you will be tasked with even greater difficulties. I am trying to prepare all of you for what is to come. I know that there have been some rumblings lately from past members of this team. I am disappointed just as much as you are. I would ask that all of you be cautious when speaking with these individuals. Some of them are still under Satan's influence. They believe they are doing a greater good by exposing all of you. This is just not the case. I need all of you too, as I have told you in the past, when confronted about anything, to remain in the truth. I have all of this under control. Brilliance will reach out to Stacy and caution her about her actions. I would ask that the rest of you remain silent. The Apostle Orlovsky has been wrestling with much as of late. He knows of my son's activity and understands in his heart there is no one else who can perform these actions like my son can. It confounds him that there would actually be a second son of mine, which is why he has not discounted nor denied this information. The Holy Spirit has been in many conversations with the Apostle, and in time he will accept this thought, confirm it within his own heart, and then reach out to Triland. I will tell all of you that what Stacy did was not my plan A. I knew she would try to force my hand. Her actions are my plan B. Satan is desperate. Recently he has turned some of you against each other. Have I not warned you of this? And that he will always use family and friends to bring discontentment to all of you. You are stronger and wiser than he is. Do not fall prey to your own emotions and all that he sends to you to distract you from the truth. Keep your emotions in check. Do not let them drive you. In the future, when the world finds out about all of this, they will personally attack you. I will keep you safe, and you will know when to speak and when to remain silent. This team is still in the rebuilding phase. Some of you do not really know each other. In a very short period of time, the remaining four healers will be added and trained. Please take the time to talk to one another and to get to know each other's hearts. Never forget that I personally chose all of you. There is no mistake or coincidence that you were on this team. I know all of your hearts and thoughts. You were created to serve others in a capacity that none before you have ever been tasked with. You have been given power and authority in areas that no one else will be given. I am not telling you this to raise you up higher than any others. I am merely reminding all of you that you are servants and we all serve mankind. Your tasks have been defined in three areas: protect the bride of Christ, defend the apostles' doctrine, and help bring the bride home. I will add two more tasks. Love all those around you as much as you love me, and serve them as if you were serving me. I love all of you more than your minds and hearts will ever know. The time of my son's announcement is near. The church is almost ready to receive him. I am also moving the hearts of the entire world to accept him as well. Be patient, be vigilant, stay strong, and focus on these tasks. You will not fail me, and I am always with you." Does anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. I was taking notes for this meeting right after we finished the other, and the top thing I had on the top of this list was Satan will continue to attack us personally through family, friends, and our brothers and sisters and our teammates. So I don't think it's ironic that Father brought that up. I want to discuss shortly all the emails that were sent out by Q about his conversation with the district elder and his rector and the apostle. I want to tell everybody up front that it isn't normal, usually, when I ask a teammate to send an email out to the team. And the reason I did that was because I was not privy to those conversations, but I will let you know that before Q sent any emails, whether to you or the apostle, he read them all to me, he prayed over them, and then I gave him permission to send them to you. The problem with the emails was that Q and I had many conversations, and because of the information that he and I was completely aware of, there would have been no confusion when we read those emails back and forth to each other because we knew everything that was going on. The problem was is that we did not disclose every single thing to you guys, and that's why some of you were trying to figure out what he was talking about, what the problem was, and where everything came from. I will tell you that out of everybody on the team, Q has probably been the one who's been pulled in the most and blindsided by the leaders in the church because of me. And his fear, which is valid, each time they do that, his concern is whether they're going to take his office away. And that's a real fear to have. This is not going to happen because the Apostle Orlovsky is not some flake who jumps on the bandwagon when information comes to him. And recently, it was from Stacy that all this information was given to him in a conversation. She spoke to him a couple months ago and disclosed to him the conversation that happened in the sacristy with Q and Lightstream when she was still on the team, and Atmos and Nucleos. And I believe that Lightstream, well, I should say Lauren, gave that information to Stacy, and then Stacy brought it to the apostle. We do not cast out demons in anybody's name, and I will clarify all of this for the apostle when he contacts me. You stand in the full power and authority that I gave you. We destroy evil, and we will not be deterred from what our responsibilities are, as Father pointed out again. I'm going to ask from this point forward that nobody does anything inside the church where anybody is watching, because we are now under the microscope, and Satan's not going to stop until he confuses everybody and causes problems. So I would rather, if you want to have a conversation about any of this, we can call each other. You can go home, and you can take care of anything from your house. I'm not asking you to stand down from your responsibilities. I'm asking us to become a little more transparent, because now we are in the eyes of everybody that's there. Stacy is going out of her way to destroy us in some way. She's being vindictive and mean. I'm not going to mince words with anybody. I do not hold anything against her. I do not hate her. I actually still love her. What disappoints me is that she's willing to listen to Satan and think that she's motivated, and in what she does, she thinks she's actually accomplishing something, but she's not, as Father said. So I would ask everyone to please continue to pray for her and Lauren and all of our past teammates and their families. But I would also ask you that the next time a teammate sends an email to you and it's confusing to you, that you would have enough guts, or trust, I should say, to contact that teammate and go, you know what, this isn't making any sense. Can you please walk me through the whole thing? That way, we disarm Satan. We have given him a lot of cannon fodder this week, and he played with a lot of your hearts, and he twisted you guys against each other at some point. I do not want that, okay? We are brethren and sisters. We need to work together. We certainly need to know how to trust each other. And when Q sent you the information about what was going on, I approved everything that he was saying. He was not standing on a pedestal preaching to you, saying, look at me, I'm better than you are, or you need to know these things, maybe you forgot them. He was very emotional when all this took place. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a district leader coming to you and accusing you of anything, but it's happened a lot to Q. And he has always stood his ground and spoke the truth. And when he was questioned about what this situation was, he couldn't remember what they were talking about because this happened almost 4 months ago. And when he gave his answer of, no, I didn't do that, he then remembered what had happened in Kalamazoo. But at that point, it was already done. Nobody was casting out any demons at that point. So I don't understand why they had to go through this mess anyway. It was disheartening for me. And when Q had called me and said, I feel like I want to send a letter or an email to the apostle just to ask him or tell him, this is what happened, here's what took place, to clear the air, and then to encourage him that if you are going to, you know, have questions, then please contact Jim directly. My gut tells me, as Father has told us today, that the apostle is trying to get his head around all of this stuff, and he's going to. And if he really thought that I was some kind of a threat or some nutball, he probably would have reached out to me by now. Because from what I understand, the apostle had this information for a couple months now. And then all of a sudden, he gave it to the district elder and his evangelist to figure out what was going on. I think the reason why he did that is because he would like his brothers to start investigating things instead of accusing all the time. That is not born out of the Holy Spirit, and he knows that. Does anybody have any questions about any of the emails that Q sent that you would like to have clarified or talk about? I'm going to open the floor right now. Anybody can say anything they would like, okay?
Are our worries and or fears justified about them pushing this farther? And by them, I mean Lauren and Stacy. I mean, I'm not worried about it, but I'm worried about what others, especially the leaders of the local church, are going to start thinking, saying, and doing.
Okay.
My biggest fear is somebody's going to come up to us basically and ask us, you know, they're going to start giving us a hard time and making it horrible to go to church.
I honestly don't think that's going to happen because I've been going through it for 13 years. They don't have the right to forbid anybody from coming to church, and just because they're afraid doesn't mean they have the right to accuse of anything or to put someone on the chopping block. And I'll be honest, okay, I'm going to tell everybody right now. If that happens to you, then I need you to immediately call me, because then I will call the apostle, and I will have a conversation with him about his brothers and how inappropriate their behavior is. I am not afraid to do that. We're not doing anything for ourselves. We're not making any names for ourselves. And Father summed up this whole mess with two words. He said fear and ignorance. That's what mankind's biggest problem has been most of the time. They don't understand something, so they lash out at it thinking that's going to make it all better, and we're just a bunch of witches on a witch hunt, and we're going to get persecuted and ridiculed. Father is allowing so many things to happen to us to toughen us up for the future, because when this does become public, we are going to be under the eye. People are going to go out of their way to complicate our lives, but it is not anything we can't handle. Silence sometimes is the best answer when somebody accuses you of something. Or what you can say to the people if they do get all up in your business, you tell them they should, here's Jim Ryback's phone number, and you give him a call. And I'll be more than happy to straighten everything out for everybody. Okay? I don't want any of you to feel like you're alone. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that works for me. It's just, not that I didn't know you, not that I didn't think you didn't have our backs. I know you did. It's just that I don't think anybody's going to come right out and say anything. I think they're just going to start making life miserable. I mean, that's been my gut feeling since the whole thing kind of went down.
Well, they're going to try. And then when they start doing that, I will step in.
Yeah. Can I just say something just from prior experience? Because what our family went through was so, I don't think you could get any more bizarre than what we went through. However, I have to agree with Tryland that usually, rather than people lashing out, it's usually the opposite. Because they're afraid of what they've heard or what they've seen, they just become very quiet. They don't really attack you. They don't understand it. And I just find that they usually don't lash out. If anything, they try to keep their distance from you. It's not like they're going to poke a stick at you. At least that's my impression, and that's what we've lived through. I'll just give you an example. Like, we have spoken to our district apostle many times about Tom and that he had demons, and we did also speak to him about Tryland and that he did have this ability, and Apostle Lalosky knew about it too. I mean, none of this was we didn't keep any of the secret. Because at the time we were seeking help. And what they did was, rather than ostracizing us or making fun of us, they retreated. It was almost like we didn't exist. However, after they noticed that Tom was so much better, then they said, oh, whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it. So I'm hoping, because it seems that, Apostle Orlovsky is definitely much more open and understands a lot more than our apostles in our district do. And so if anything, I think that would be to all of your benefits. I don't think that you should be fearful. That's just the impression that I'm getting, only because Apostle Orlovsky has seen what has happened to Tom. He said to me before that he knew that he said, I know that Jim has these gifts, and I know that he can do things that others cannot do. And so I think that he is actually going to be our biggest ally, and I really don't think that you need to fear. That's just what my gut is telling me, and just from what we are going through right now as a family, I really think that it will be okay.
I agree.
And if I could just make a couple of comments, forgive me for my voice. I want to emphasize that when I spoke with the apostle, it was very clear that he was not uncomfortable. And he did not want me to be uncomfortable in the conversation. I mean, I just felt that he was very open. And he simply stated, well, I just want to tell you what I asked the district elder to do, because this is what I heard. And he told me matter-of-factly what I wrote in the email. And he said, I just want to find out what took place. And he wasn't accusatory. He just wanted the facts. And he didn't seem to have a big problem with it, which I was very impressed with. And then he made a couple of statements like, I don't know what the answers are. I seek our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus' input and the Holy Spirit's input, and I don't know everything. And who am I to say that I do? I have to seek and dig and wrestle for the right information, for the right word, for the right understanding. He said, I don't know it all. And he said, I can tell you, I'm probably, of most of the apostles, I'm probably more open to this because of the things that I've seen. And so I absolutely agree with you, Tranquility, that he will be our first best advocate. But it's really nice that it's kind of, you know, I hate to say he's in our corner, but, you know, he is a true apostle who is doing what he's doing out of love, and then realizing that he doesn't have all the answers. So he's looking for the answers as well.
Yes, I agree with you.
He's a very methodical person. He doesn't take what's said to him for face value. He kind of weighs it and figures it out, and then he gets a little more information, and then he moves forward. Father reminded me again, he said he's going to become one of my best friends. So it's through this process that he's learning what it is that we do. We have never lied. I have never lied. We have never tried to hide things when we've been asked certain questions, which gives us all a ton of credibility in his eyes. And even a year ago, I emailed him and told him what our tasks were, and he responded with, I appreciate the trust that you have in me, because I asked him to keep this to himself. So he could have flown off the handle, contacted all the brothers in all the areas, Jim's a nutball, locked down the churches, sent in the forces, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what Father wants, and he's the one who ultimately has total control over this. So that's my assurity that everything's going to work out right, because Father recently said again, no matter what man thinks, I will have my way. He always does. He's always right, and we have to make him happy. Anybody have anything else they'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I'll add, you know, the spirits that come around, that fear, we've got to constantly be on alarm. So even if we've shut down our space, we have to always be mindful that those little voices that we hear, you know, our loft is going to blow it, or, oh, my goodness, what's going to, you know what I mean? That nonsense, just kill whatever's in your space. It's not godly. I mean, I succumbed to it this week. I mean, I was even unaware of all the conversations about the emails, honestly. But yet there was that little fear, like, oh, my goodness, this is it. You know, waiting for the other, you know, shoe to fall or whatever that saying is. And I'm thinking, oh, God, get out of here, you butthead. This is not something we have to hide. And I know it's a lot of us have that fear of, I don't want to be looked bad upon by the church. This is our faith. But that's how Satan's going to play against our hearts. Are you sure? I mean, look, we have one of our own. It's almost like a movie, you know, where you have the mighty band of heroes and the one goes off. And, I mean, you can't even write this stuff, right? You know, and now it's happened. We all were waiting. Weren't we? We've talked about it. When is this gonna turn bad? Well, here we are, folks, and it's not bad. I mean, it's a little bump, but honestly, I mean, whenever I have those little thoughts or hear the little voices, I kill what's in my space. I tell my lead angel kill what's in the area, and I go about my business.
I think we also need to recognize the fact that the apostle needed to find out about Jim in the first place. You know,
correct.
And one way or another, we're going to find out, you know. And so the truth will come forth. And as long as we walk in light and truth, we serve in humbleness, we serve the bride of Christ, and we are kind to everyone, even those who don't like us, we all know who they are, you know. And so we treat them with kindness. And just as Jesus said, we turn the cheek when someone smites us on our cheek, on one side, you know. And so was it the cleanest way for everything to come out? No. You know, kind of unfortunate that, you know, someone's trying to submarine you. But okay, we can deal with it because we have more to deal with. Just like John said, and Jim, it's going to get worse and it's going to get harder. And the time that we're living, look at what happened recently, you know. That's just, this earth is in state. People led by spirits and demons, and they want that instant gratification.
Let me add one thing, too, and I have felt that fear that he was felt, that, oh, my gosh, I'm getting called into the sacristy. Crap. You know,
yeah.
that you know, and it's not afraid of what you did. It's that you don't want to disappoint. So you're riding two horses. And
yeah.
You're riding two horses, and none of us, the rest of us are. So we'll pray extra for you. But you're an honest guy. I can't imagine a scenario, and again, I don't want to tempt Satan, right, to create a scenario that someone's going to look at you and go, whoa, what a bastard, you know. But, you know, so we'll pray for you, because you're in both positions of a minister and a healer, and that's unique. So, you know, we'll rally around you. And I got a cane, so if I have to, I'll come out there and I'll beat somebody.
Thank you. But, you know, if I could just make a couple...
Eat them with love.
Fantastic. Well, you know, and I was a little bit concerned earlier this week when I spoke with Tryland, and he said that there was some confusion about these emails and where were they coming from. And, you know, of course, that hurts. And then I think to myself, we must absolutely love and trust each other implicitly because of the roles and responsibilities that we have. And I feel bad that others don't know me well enough to call me and say, what the heck are you talking about? And I'm now searching, and I'm asking you, Tryland, and the generals, and all of the lieutenants, all of us, how do we do a better job at knowing each other implicitly and trusting each other implicitly and rallying behind and being there together. We have to figure out how to do this.
Well, this is why Father said we need to call each other, take time to get to know each other's hearts, make the effort. I spoke with Brilliance on my way back from Canada this week, and she said, I miss the good old days when we used to just call each other up and chat for hours about our faith and our tasks. And I said to her, what's changed? And she said, well, for me, it's my insane job. And I said, right, but we still can do that. If there's ever any question about anything, you guys need to call each other. If you have a question about anything, don't hesitate to contact me. I don't want anyone looking at another person going, who the hell do they think they are? We should be beyond that. We are brothers and sisters. I'm going to just bring that out again. Father handpicked everybody. You and I carry a huge responsibility. Satan is going to try and fill our heads with crap. Let's put our hands over our ears and not listen to him. We don't have time for that. Okay? Anybody else have anything else they want to add to that? Okay. Lightstar, you're on the call.
Yes.
Lightstar, okay. You and I spoke a couple weeks ago, and you were talking to me about pride and fear. Do you remember that conversation?
A little bit.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate a little bit and share that with the team?
Well, I think that a lot of the things that we've been hearing over the conference calls is that there's so much pride or ego that is in so many members of the churches and things, and it's been especially around the Kalamazoo area. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, it's that fight or flight. And when you have congregations coming together, it's really difficult for people to have a place. And so out of fear, they are holding on tight to what they feel like they're going to lose. And maybe it's not good and maybe it is good, but it's, I think, being taken the wrong way. Instead of it being, oh, my gosh, they think that there's, you know, the one in charge. They think that they know everything. And really, it's not that. It's that they don't want to lose their place, and it's being taken the wrong way. And actually, it's the spirit of fear that is playing with them, and they need to be prayed for and to that they can have a better understanding but not be so scared that they're not going to have a place. I mean, you're talking a bunch of little congregations, and I can speak for Water Belief. If we were to come together with somebody else, it would be really difficult because Kalamazoo is a core unit. It's a very large congregation, and now you're adding in a bunch of little ones, and it's like becoming a number. And so I think that there's just a lot of fear that they have in that. And it's not so much that they have ego and pride as it is that they're afraid and they're standing their ground because they don't want to lose on what they had.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to pray for all these congregations that are merging. I know that we went through a big pain when they created Schaumburg with six congregations. Within the first 6 months, about a third of the members stopped coming. Now the membership is actually coming back. Our church is actually, we were told by the Disc Apostle, we're the largest congregation in the United States. So that's a plus.
Wow.
But it took time. It took growing pains. It's a huge personality conflict. It's a huge, I'm not going to let go of what I had in the past, like Lightstar said. But we have to move forward because when Father sends Jesus, he isn't going to have a line where you can tell him what you think and then he's going to go, okay, you can come with because you're in line with me, or no, you got to stay. We're either all on board with what Father wants, and I think the biggest thing he said to us is he said, love those around you as much as you love me and serve them as if you were serving me. For me, that struck me to the core because we've always served in the idea that we are doing this for Father, but he's never ever said it that way. So it isn't our place to judge those people when they attack us. It's our place to find out what's motivating them and to have compassion and understanding. And I will tell you, in the last couple of years, where Father continues to tell me that I have to love all of mankind regardless of everything, it is not an easy task, but it can be accomplished when you take to heart that it's not always them, that's doing what they're doing on their own. They are prompted. They are motivated. If you and I can see beyond the flesh, like Father continues to ask us to do, then we will see the soul. We will see the perfect peace of Father inside this imperfect human being. And that takes practice, and that takes love. And I believe we can do it, or Father would not have picked any of us to complete this task. Does anybody have anything to add to this pride and fear? Okay. I know of, I believe, three of us on the team who no longer have a healing master. That's myself, Quasar, and I believe Nucleos was just about to let go of Hank. If you do not have a healing master anymore, then your psychic surgeon becomes the primary for all the healings. So they do not get plugged into your left hand anymore. They will plug into your right hand, and then they will take on both roles of the healing master and themselves. Okay? If you still have your healing master, that's fine. Eventually, we're all going to just be using psychic surgeons. Let me know when they step away from you or when you don't need them anymore. It isn't a race to see who can get rid of their healing master the fastest. So take your time. If all of a sudden you're getting ready to do a healing and your healing master's nowhere to be found, that's why. Father's going to phase them out. He hasn't told me why. Anybody have any questions about
question.
That?
Question. So yeah. When... But I don't touch a healing angel to plug in, right?
Mm-mm.
None of that.
No, no, the healing angel is completely different.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. I spent 10 days with the Horns up in Canada. It was a wonderful time. I was able to give them all energy healings. When I got there, Tom had a bunch of entities attached to his chakras. They were not inside of him because Father said that he's never going to be possessed again, nor will anything be able to take him over. But I will tell you this, it was as though it was the first day I met him. He was curled up in a ball. He was gagging and choking like he did for all those years. And I'll be honest, my heart sunk into my chest. And when he came down and sat in the chair across from me, we just started talking. And he just looked at me and said, isn't there anything you can do for me? So I just put my hands on him. And when I did that, I looked through his space, and we cut all the cords. And then Jesus walked over about 5 minutes later, and he put his hands on Tom. And within about 15 to 20 minutes, Tom was sitting straight up. His voice came back, and his eyes cleared up, and he was okay. We spent the whole weeks with him, and his biggest concern was his neighbors have issues, and some of their friends had issues, and we did something new, which I've never done before. Tranquility had some pictures of her grandson that she wanted to give to two of the neighbors in the neighborhood that we know for a fact are sick because of demonic situations. But they would never let us in the house so that we could put our hands on them or just do energy healings. So I instructed Tranquility to put that energy to destroy demons into the pictures of her grandson, and then when these people would touch and hold these pictures, it would destroy the evil.
Wow.
And also put healing energy into it. So basically, she pogged the picture and then told Father what she would like to accomplish. Well, she went over and gave those pictures to the two neighbors, and I think it was a day later, Tranquility, when the neighbor said, people are saying he looks different. You can tell us what happened.
Right, so I, it actually wasn't me, it was Tom that had gone over, and he said to our neighbor, wow, Paul, you're looking really good. And he said, yes, a lot of people are telling me that lately in the last couple of days. So then we knew that it was working. As far as the neighbor right beside me, I have not seen them yet. It's actually his wife who has been housebound for probably, I'd say at least 10 years. So I'm waiting until I see him. Usually on the weekends we end up seeing each other outside. But it was quite a nice experience. It was nice the way Father arranged it too, because I took the picture over and I wanted to specifically see Paul. And when I went around the corner, his wife was sitting on the porch, and my heart just sank, and I thought, oh, man, I wish that I could just give the picture directly to Paul. And so I just was talking to Margaret, his wife, for a few minutes, and lo and behold, Paul came out of the front door, and I just did a pivot, and I said, Paul, look at this picture, and I just handed it to him. So it's wonderful how Father always arranges things. But, yes, and so that's what I'm doing now is I told Triland that I will give them a more recent picture of John, my grandson, and I will continue to pog the pictures until I know that that they're healed. Because the interesting thing is we all live next to each other, so it's three houses in a row, and in each one of our houses there's someone that's very ill, and doctors don't know what's wrong with them. So that's why we're taking this route now to see if that'll work, gradual pogging.
Thank you.
Nice.
The other thing we did was Andrew, their middle son, his fiance, and her family have a dog, and the dog is near death's door, so it was a very traumatic time for the family. So Andrew wanted to give the family hugs and wanted to see if he could help them, but family wasn't really open to that, so Tom said, well, can you, if I buy them some flowers, can you put that energy in the flowers, and then when they smell the flowers or they touch the flowers, would that work? Yes, it will. So we pogged the flowers, and I held them for a minute, and I told Father what I would like to transfer. And then also, before Andrew went over to their house to talk to the family, he asked the same thing, so I held his hand, and I told Father what I would like to give him, and Andrew actually sat back for a second. He went, oh, my goodness. He goes, I could feel that energy coming into me. And I said, okay, so give them hugs. And the family is still suffering through this, so I would ask you to pray for them. But I want to just point out, if you know of somebody who's got an issue and you know that they're not going to talk to you or you're not going to have easy access to them, get a card, get some flowers, pog the card and flowers. Tell Father what you would like to do. Ask him to step in, and then the moment that these people touch those things, then it will happen, okay? So you can use anything you'd like as a transfer piece. Does anybody have any questions about that?
That's awesome.
Not a question, but a quick point out. It's interesting that we're able to do that with that type of energy, because it seems like Satan and his crew has been doing that for quite some time, so it's nice to know that we can use the same tactic, but for the Father's will.
This is true. Good point. Okay, does anybody have anything they'd like to add about anything at this moment? I have nothing else to discuss.
My little friend that had cancer, he was 12 years old. He is cancer-free.
Oh.
Wow. Great.
Well, I've been pogging him, and every time I've touched him, I, you know, sent healing energy on him, and he's finally, so at least that family has one bright thing to look forward to now.
Wonderful. Anything else? Okay. Our next meeting will be Friday, July 17th at 6 p.m. I appreciate everybody working with me this month. We had the plans changed to be out in Canada longer than I thought I would be, but
I think you lost them. You there, Jim?
I'm here.
Oh, we didn't hear anything after you said anything else. Repeat it.
All right. I appreciate everybody coming today when we should have had the meeting last Sunday. So I appreciate you being flexible. I will try my best to keep to the schedule that we have. If there isn't anything else, then I'd like to pray with all of you.
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
My grandpa last Thursday, early morning, had a heart transplant.
Wow.
And everything's going really great as far as the heart goes, except for his mentally, he's not right. The day of the surgery, when they pulled him out that evening, he knew my grandma, he knew my mom, and then that was, I mean, it was looking really good. The next morning they came in and he was wailing and yelling for his daddy. He just kept yelling, daddy, daddy, and he was reaching his arms out, trying to get out of the bed, and didn't know my mom, didn't know my grandma, he knew his name. Other than that, he was non-responsive. And they got him today where he does know my grandma. He knows the president. And he's sitting in a chair, but he's just kind of non-communicating at all. And I've done some research and also talking to some people that there is known that the person prior to having the heart, that there can be some cellular transfer of a cellular memory, or that the soul is also transferring over. I really don't know which one that it is. So just prayers that he can recuperate, but that soul can also, if it's attached, let go. And because I really feel like some of his behavior might be in conjunction with the heart versus the surgery. I mean, he's had 2 bypass surgeries, and he goes under every year for something, and he's never had this reaction to this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, and then the second one would be to please pray for my husband. He holds his first service on Sunday, and he's shaking in his boots. So.
Gladly remember him.
Well, that's a good thing, though.
Absolutely. That's why it will be beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay. Then I'll pray with you. Father of love, we bow before you first. We bring our thanks and our praise to you. Because, Father, at times there are moments where we all sit within ourselves. Do we ask ourselves the question, why would you pick us? What is it that you saw in us that you knew that we could handle all these things that have come up, that you knew we would be strong enough to overcome our own shortcomings and even deal with the shortcomings of those around us, that we would get to a point in our faith that we would not question things, that we would not judge those around us, and that we would love them unconditionally just as you do. These all seem overwhelming at times when we stop and think about how they're ever going to be done. But, Father, we can look over our last couple years of our lives and we have seen how all of us have grown into the person you knew we could always be. You gave everybody a specific name, and every single healer is different, and every single healer has special gifts, has special insights, and we are all part of a puzzle. And when you put all those pieces in place, then do you know what we look like, Father? We look like you, because that's who we stand in the power and authority of. There are many concerns that have been expressed by our teammates. We pray for Lightstar's grandfather, and I have already asked you that if there is a soul attached to this heart still, that you will release the soul, and that you will provide an extra healing angel to stand by her grandfather's side, that she will put her hand over his heart, and he will be restored. She also asks us to remember Priest Schaefer, because it is a huge responsibility, Father, to stand in between the congregation and you, to be the person who intercedes on their behalf, the one who tries their best to not bring forth anything that is themselves. We never want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit, Father, and many of us can relate to how frightening it is to stand in front of your children and to serve them. But you will provide an extra dose of confidence to him because he has been preparing, and he has fear of you, Father, that he would disappoint you. And that's the most greatest motivating factor that, Father, we have. So provide love in his heart and peace, too, that he doesn't drive himself insane as he starts to worry at different times. He has no reason to fear anything. See the hearts of our fellow teammates and the concerns that they bear, not only for themselves, but for their financial situation. Everybody is struggling. For their work situation, for their families, for the concerns they have in the congregations, for their ability to serve, Father, not only you, but the family members We are all part of our families. And we bring everybody's family member now in front of you, too. You are the one, Father, who has handpicked the shortcomings that you gave every single soul, and you even knew that before you gave them to that soul, that you would give them the ability to overcome all those shortcomings. So, Father, I pray that you will unlock all those gifts within all of us, that we have the ability to overcome ourselves, that when Jesus is sent, Father, he sees us and knows us very well because we've been building that relationship, and that, Father, there is no fear that any one of us is going to be left behind either. But we want, Father, just as you do, that all men should be saved. And this is not an easy task, because our big brother laid down one path, and mankind believes there's 150 million different paths to get to him. And we are the ones who will show them that the path is through the New Apostolic Church. And I know that you have a plan for this too, so I'm not even worried. But, Father, give us the insight to everything that is around us, that we are always aware of where Satan is, of where he's working, of who he's working through, and that, Father, you give us the ability to control our emotions too, that we do not fly off the handle, but that we remain confident in who we are. We pray also for our leaders, our chief apostle all the way down the line. We pray, Father, for the newest deacon who's been ordained, and that, Father, in oneness we can serve alongside with them. We pray for the cares and concerns too of those in eternity, our loved ones, our ancestors and our relatives. Service for the departed is but a couple weeks away, and so much work is being done we haven't even seen many of our own family members because they are that busy. So I pray for strength for them, Father, that you will also open our understanding that if there's some group we've missed, that you'll point it out to us, and we will remember them. Provide now, Father, anything that we have forgotten. As always, Father, we lay all this in your hands, and we do this according to your will, and know how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for everything. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.